And I'd like to welcome Lisa Briggs. Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. And I'm just so rapt to be hearing from you today.
So I'm at present, I'm the executive director of Ngawi Maru, which is the Victorian government, recognised Victorian government partner for the National Agreement for Closing the Gap. And Ngawi Maru means voice of the people in Gunditjmara dialect. I'm a Gunditjmara woman from the Western District of Victoria, and my background has largely been in the Aboriginal community control sector.
What do we mean when we say Aboriginal community controlled?
So what that means is that Aboriginal people have developed health mechanisms that develop solutions that are guided by grassroots people on the needs that are reflected within that local community. And so I think where we see the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service, for example, the oldest ACO in Victoria, over 50 years old, it's been servicing the health and social needs of Victorian Aboriginal people for that long. And I think what you see, Maz, is that Close the Gap was originally code some 20 years ago to stop people from dying, Aboriginal people from dying. So that's where it originates from. And the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Services have been doing that the whole time. And you can actually see the improvements by the number of elders that we have living with us today.
Love it. This actual program has its roots in workers' radio. Is there anything you want to share about your life as a worker?
Yep. So I was 12 years old and I'd walked into the 136 Gertrude Street premises in Fitzroy, and I'd seen an Aboriginal health worker by the name of Glenda Thorpe, who was working in the clinic alongside doctors and nurses in there. And I'd actually needed to get vaccinated. And it was the first time I'd ever come across an Aboriginal person in a clinic, for one thing. And she was able to assist me with what I needed on the day. And she inspired me to actually become an Aboriginal health worker, which I did, and then ended up working in policy. But Aboriginal health workers and practitioners are the frontline workers that change Aboriginal people's lives on a daily basis. They're what we call our barefoot doctors.
Collectively, and you personally, work so hard that nobody sees you. So I'm in Smith Street. I'm up and down Smith Street all the time. And I imagine 60, 70 Aboriginal people down there at VACHO training. We used to say, and is it still true, that the Aboriginal community controlled sector is the biggest employer and trainer of Aboriginal people, as well as the biggest provider of health services?
Nationally, Maz, and this is good because we were the largest employers and we still are the largest service providers of health and wellbeing to Aboriginal people in the country. Coles has actually pipped us on the post, apparently, with Wesfarmers, with the new recruitment drive about employment, which is a good thing. It's an outcome of the national agreement to get more employment and diversity employment amongst corporate Australia. And then, but the Aboriginal Community Control in Victoria is still the largest employer and provider of Aboriginal services for our people. They also are the leading services of getting the greatest outcomes and meeting the targets against the National Close the Gap Agreement.
So what are some of the main headlines that have been achieved toward closing the gap?
Yeah. So Close the Gap has been going since for 20 years next year, and it was started with the release of the Tom Kelmer report in when he was the Social Justice Commissioner in 2005. And that health inequality report started the campaign for Close the Gap. And what you'd see was there was a definite 17-year life expectancy gap between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and other Australians. And in other, in particular states and territories, that gap may even be wider. And so over this period of time, I think that message has got lost with the public and even amongst some of our service providers, because it has changed so much as part of a process. And then when you look at the national agreement, there are actually now two targets, and one of them is the priority reforms, 1 to 4, and they're the ones that are system changes where we need all our service providers and governments to do better to actually make a difference to the 17 socioeconomic targets, life expectancy being one of them. So I think when the at the launch last week for National Close the Gap Day, and the report had 44 recommendations in it, it was largely trying to focus and reshift the priorities around the priority reforms themselves, which is shared decision making. Along that was priority reform one. Priority reform two is around building the Aboriginal community controlled sector. Priority reform three is around transformation. That looks at racism, cultural practice, but also how mainstream services who can't deliver on what they need to do, how they can then transfer that over to Aboriginal community control. And the last one, of course, is around data sovereignty, because you can't do anything without measuring and what the data is actually telling us.
Thank you very much for articulating that so well, and also carrying forward what more and more people understand, which you always understood, which is about the social determinants of health.
It is. And I think this is the thing, Maz, that people, we've heard people in the past, and even now, closing the gap is not working. It is a failed policy. But I actually don't believe it's a failed policy, because the Aboriginal community controlled sector has delivered consistently, and it has been proven within the data and within the productivity report and with the people that you see walking in the street day to day and the families that are growing, that we've actually, through that monitoring and through the agreements that we make at a local level, we are seeing effective change. Where we're not seeing the change is within the systems themselves, that government control. We can't control that. So that's why there's always this call out about government doing better and making sure that their decisions, and when we're talking about decisions, they're both financial and non-financial decisions. A lot of it lies around agreement making and making sure that those that are funded are actually being accountable for those funds and delivering on the outcomes that they actually applied for. And I think one thing, Maz, just with transformation, when we have a look at within the national agreement itself, there's a part that actually talks about, is there an agreed model of service between two agencies or three agencies on how they're going to deliver this work. So if you actually are a community health centre and you have got an Aboriginal community controlled organisation, or even if you're a private practice or a hospital, if you work on an agreed model with the Aboriginal community controlled sector, you're probably going to get better outcomes, because there's going to be a shared knowledge and understanding and cultural practice elements that you weren't aware of before. VACCHO, which is the Victorian Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, the peak body for 38 Aboriginal community controlled services across Victoria, they've actually got a endorsed ACCO model of practice. And so I would encourage everyone to have a look at that through their website and think about how that might be able to be adapted, because we'll get better outcomes. Aboriginal people that go to Aboriginal community controlled services have complex needs, and the Western system doesn't allow the time or the skill, necessarily has the skill set to be able to deal with our complex needs as part of better improving our outcomes. And so this is where there's a real point of difference between cultural practice, because they do have that trust that it's a service being developed by us, for us. They know that when they walk in the door that we have the knowledge and understanding immediately of what they're required. And we also, because of the way that the clinics are designed, or the health cooperatives are designed, it's a holistic approach. So they may come in for a medical condition, but they also can get their housing addressed, or their dental addressed, or their mental health addressed, or social emotional wellbeing addressed. So there's a range of services as a one-stop shop, which I think makes it very attractive for our people.
So the Aboriginal community controlled model, which started up in the early 70s here and in Sydney, in Redfern, was then copied by community health. So the one-stop shop model?
So we are teachers in many ways. We certainly have great relationships with hospitals, GPs, nurses, industry of practice of all different walks of life, and it's expanded over a period of time. But as we have new cadets that come through and trainees, no matter what profession, it means that we must keep that going so that there's a cultural-centred practice that is relevant for our people so that we still get those best outcomes. If we don't have that, then we're actually going to go backwards. I think what happened, and this is going back some 20 years, when Oxfam Australia were working with Tom Kelmer and the Close the Gap campaign crew in developing an agreement and really working with the Commonwealth Government on what a change needed to be. And you actually had to have, for this to work and to stop Aboriginal politics or affairs being a political football, you absolutely had to have a bipartisan support by both parties. And so what had happened then, the Liberal government, I think, was in power at the time.
Yeah, it was Howard.
We were able to put a case forward because you can't have Aboriginal citizens living in a well-developed country that have the same health conditions that were being seen in Bangladesh, a third world country. And so I think that really shone a spotlight on the desperate needs that Aboriginal people were requiring, but it actually wasn't getting attended to. And so that was really through Tom's report in highlighting that and some research that was conducted by Oxfam around the life expectancy gap of 17 years. And so there was an immediate response, which we now see as closing the gap. We were able to work with the Commonwealth Government and develop up targets, which is now where you see around the life expectancy, early childhood, education, employment, economic development, housing, all the things that are needed to ensure that you have a best start to life as part of a process. And then the campaign launched. We got all the backing from wider Australians to support it because they had no idea what was going on at the time. And I think that was the turning tide. And even now, Maz, 20 years later, on National Closing the Gap Day, which is held every year in March, we still have schools that are still participating. We still have community health centres, legal services, all the other mainstream providers out there still recognising that work and that there's still work to be done. I think the National Close the Gap Agreement is a real pivotal one. I think what you can see, we're very lucky in Victoria where we were actually negotiating a treaty and going through a treaty process. Treaty is actually another word for agreements. And what you see through the National Close the Gap Agreement is a treaty in action, pretty much. And so I think given that it's lasted for 20 years, it's still got a lot more to do. For us, I think in Victoria, the treaty process will actually strengthen it. So that's it. Get on board and keep plugging away to get those outcomes that we need.
Thanks so much, Lisa Briggs. Good on you.
Thank you, Maz.